Hey everyone, welcome to an all new episode of Dubs Talk presented by Wendy's. Get a $1.99 honey butter chicken biscuit today from Wendy's. I'm Grant Liffman alongside Kendra Andrews as always. And, you know, it's been an up and down season for so many different reasons, but why not? Let's just throw another injury into it. And Kendra, you're the Warriors reporter. I'll toss it to you. Can you inform the people, if they have not heard yet, which I'm sure they have, what we're talking about here?
Yeah, well, last night, James Wiseman took a really, really tough fall, immediately started grabbing for his leg after that fall. And today it was reported that he's torn his meniscus, which, as you said, Grant, just the latest blow for the Warriors, and particularly for James Wiseman, because he's had a really rough season health-wise, you know, regardless of anything else. It isn't clear yet if it's going to require surgery, how much time he's going to miss, but there is a chance that he's going to miss the rest of the season with just 19 games left, not including the postseason. So yeah, just a very unfortunate incident for Wiseman and the Warriors.
At this point, I don't even care what degree it is. I would be incredibly surprised if he played again this season. It's not something you want to mess with either way. What would be the point of rushing him back? We'll see, unless there is a misdiagnosis of what it was. You know, obviously the Warriors haven't officially reported what it was. You know, we're just hearing through sources. So at this point, if it is a torn meniscus in his right knee, I'm going to try to glass half full this here for a second. We're very, very lucky to hear it's not an ACL. And I know it's like, oh, really? You know, okay. But really, at the end of the day, we're talking about missing the rest of this season and the summer versus all of next season. Now, to be cautious here, there have been instances where his right knee, but meniscus tears can end up being long-term things that are issues. If you look at what's happened with Jaren Jackson Jr. over in Memphis, it's been a very long time. He hasn't played this season, and he had meniscus issues. So things can happen, but in the grand scheme of things, a meniscus is so much better than an ACL. But Kendra, to me, it was such a weird moment because he goes up for this dunk and it kind of awkwardly lands on that right knee, and he goes down and he gets back up and it almost like he wants to shake it off, right? Mm-hmm. And it must have grabbed at him more and more as he came off the court, because they just pulled him off. And for a second there, you're like, oh, maybe he's okay. But then he just left, and then it didn't feel there. I know the word vibe comes up a lot. There wasn't a good vibe for the rest of the after post game, where it's like, usually they say, oh, it's precautionary, don't worry. Like, well, but they weren't saying that.
No, they weren't. And after he got up, the Warriors had to call a timeout to go check him out, because he was kind of limping out on the court. He went over, got checked out by the team doctors, and then went back to the locker room. And then during halftime is when we found out that he wouldn't be returning to the game. And you're right, you know, after the game, there wasn't anything saying, oh, it was precautionary. Steve Kerr had told us, you know, I haven't even spoken to James. I have not spoken to the medical staff. Guys like Kent Bazemore said, oh, I checked in on him. He said he was okay. But of course, those guys want to shake it off. Until they have their diagnosis, they're not going to say that they're not okay. Even Klay Thompson, when he tore, you know, when he got injured in the playoffs in 2019, he said he was okay. And that clearly, and you know, yeah, it's getting that news this morning of it possibly being a meniscus tear, unless, like you said, it's been misdiagnosed, leaves a very weird, I'll change up the word, aura around this team right now, because they've been saying for so long, we're going to make this run. We're going to make this run. We're, you know, getting guys back healthy. We finally feel that we have these combinations at work. That's a word that Steve Kerr has been using a lot when it comes to his lineups and rotation. He said how he really likes James Wiseman playing in that second unit with Jordan Poole, because they've established a pick and roll. Having him and Wiggins out there allows, you know, other shooters to shoot and for James to dive. And everything just seemed, maybe not necessarily the results of the game were being wins and what the team wants, but it did feel like they were starting to right some of their wrongs. And for James Wiseman in particular, he had just strung together two really solid games. It finally seemed like he personally was turning a corner of that up and down rookie year. So maybe during this final stretch, he would have been able to become that player that I think he thought he was going to be this season, that fans clearly thought he was going to be this season. And you are right that it is so much better that it's not an ACL tear, and that it is, if he misses anything, it's really just going to be the end of the season. But at the same time, you do have to wonder how much of a setback is his development going to be when it's already been set back so much so far.
Oh yeah, no, there's the not ACL was the only bit of like good news I could possibly, or not good news. I mean, that was like everything else you said is spot on. Like there's no positive about this. There's so many different negatives, and I wish I had something better to say, but you're absolutely right. And you mentioned the two games recently and went like just the beginning against the Wizards as well. The Rockets as well. I mean, it wasn't even close. It was the best basketball he's played in the NBA. Sure, he's had great moments where he's hit some threes and this and that, but no, this was consistently, you could see him getting better. You can see it working in the way he was viewing the court and the way he was moving in space. It was so much better. Also, his hands were improving. He was catching the ball in traffic. He was doing all these things. You could see him starting to learn, reaching up to go to get the rebound at the highest point. All these things are happening. He was also finding more touch on his shots. And it's just so demoralizing. And first, you have to go, I feel so bad for him, right? Because Kendra, we've seen it throughout the season. People have commented on it. He takes the game very seriously, and he wants to be good. And you see how much he hangs his head when he does something wrong, and he takes it. And he's a kid that wants to be great. And this must just be so devastating to him, because he just, talk about a snake bitten season for the Warriors, but more for him. That, you know, COVID, then having contact tracing, and then his sprained wrist, and now and this is coming off Kendra after a season in which he lost the whole college season too. So I'm just, first and foremost, I feel bad for him as a person.
I mean, how could you not, right? People talk a lot about, he hasn't lived up to yada, yada, yada. He never got a chance to string together any consistency because of all those reasons that you just named, that he was held out or missed games. You know, he never had a chance to, and he finally was getting that chance. Steve Kerr committed to starting him for the remainder of the season. And, you know, just as you said, just from speaking to James and, you know, getting to know him just a little bit that I have, as you can tell, I think everyone can tell how passionate he is and how self-critical he is, really. You can tell that he is mad at himself when he doesn't play well. And so, yeah, it's just such a bummer. And you have to remember that this kid just turned 20, and, you know, when nothing goes your way, it's really, really, really hard to find positives and stay positive. And I think that he did a decent job of that. But then when something like this happens, it's you just got to kind of throw your hands up and just like, what is going on?
So, you know, yeah, everything you're saying is absolutely right. And he just, oh man, I really feel for him. And it is crazy to think that he was even finally almost hitting a stride despite everything we just talked about, right? And there's just so much expectation and a lot riding on a number two pick, right? Because that's your whole franchise is kind of built around a number two pick. Now, I'm not even going to broach the thought of like long-term issues with this, because like it's a big man knees, and that makes me worried always, but like science nowadays, medical field, they're great. I'm not worrying about it. I'm not putting that out in space. I take it back. So there are different degrees of a meniscus tear or what happened to it. And that is what they're trying to figure out right now. Everyone cross your fingers that, you know, I don't know the medical terminology for it, but there are just whatever the lessest little, lessest is not a word. whatever the degree is, that's like the rock bottom.
Most minorest
one of them all. You just cross your fingers for that. Right. Yeah. And there, let's just hope and that for him, for the Warriors, for everybody, that it's the minorest. I'm going for that. And, you know, because at the end of the day, yes, he will miss this season, but you also want him to develop during the summer. Right. Yeah. And that where there was going to be a lot riding on that. Would they have had him play in summer league? I don't know. Is there going to be a summer league? Probably. So he was improving. He was playing better. This happens. It's a setback. Now, you mentioned the Warriors, and they're, I mean, starting to click. They lost a game to the Wizards, and then you're right, though. They were starting to find combinations, right? And in fact, against the Wizards, James Wiseman's unit was the one of the only bright spots of the whole thing because of James Wiseman, too. Then they finally beat the Rockets the next night, and we're like, oh, everyone's good in the world, and then this happens. Kendra, what did Steve Kerr say when they asked about Wiseman, if he's going to miss any extended period, what are they going to do?
There's not a lot of answers right now, because frankly, Steve Kerr didn't want to talk. He didn't really have much to say. What he said was, I don't even know what the injury is. I think the other night after that game against the Rockets, it was very positive thinking in terms of, we're not going to start planning for anything without him until we are without him. And mm-hmm. We haven't spoken to Steve Kerr since then. I imagine it's going to get discussed far more ahead of the Nuggets game on Monday. But you have to think, they still have, correct me if I'm wrong, but they still have one open roster spot, correct?
They did. I mean, at this point, it's like, what do they have? Yeah, so they have the 10-day for the 14th spot right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And right now, the Warriors have found themselves without many centers. Once they had no centers available for them, but right now with Eric Paschal out with an injury, James Wiseman's now out for we don't know how long. The only center that they really have is Kevon Looney. Would it behoove the Warriors to try and find another big man to stick into that final roster spot? Maybe. Are they going to be confident? You're like,
yes. Yes, they should.
Cam Grant's coming out. He's like, here's my list of big men that you can pick up.
But Kendra, they need to. Like, you can't go out there. You know, what's going to happen right now is Kevon Looney's their center. You're going to have small ball with Draymond. And then Juan Toscano-Anderson. I mean, he should have been getting minutes all along, or, you know, it's hard to find. There's only so many minutes available, but I've always been a guy who's kind of pushing for Juan to play more. He will play a lot more, as he did against the Rockets. All those things are true. However, you need another big man on the roster. You just do. There's not another option.
Especially with the final run of the season. Okay. But once you get into the playoffs, you think of the teams who are the Western Conference teams who are in the playoffs, and even some of the Eastern Conference teams, and who you're going to have to be going up against. I mentioned that Nuggets game. Let's just start there. You're facing arguably one of the best centers currently in the game in Nikola Jokic. They just got Aaron Gordon. Yeah. They have big guys. Then, okay, you say, well, if they make it to the playoffs, and depending on how far they're getting the playoffs, okay, well, we're going to have to face that Nuggets team maybe. Well, they might have to face LeBron and AD if they're back and healthy for the playoffs. Well, they're going to have to face Kawhi and Paul George and, you know, Zubac and all, you know, just all those really big bodies in the Western Conference. And small ball can be successful for the Warriors. Yes. It won't be as successful as they need it to be to make any sort of run. So yes, I mean, I'm with you that I think it would be good to find another big man to fill out this roster.
I mean, they have to. If you're trying to win the rest of the season, you need to have another big on your roster. And it's just, I'm sorry, you just got to. And, you know, first of all, just going back, when you said the word playoffs, all I wanted to say was playoffs. just trying to win a game. Yeah, no, they
that's we'll a good point.
We'll see about playoffs. Big picture. No, they really, we'll see. But I mean, here's the other thing. If you don't want to fill the 15th spot, I feel bad for Gary Payton II, but you can cut him and replace that spot with another 10-day big man. Like that, you can easily do that without filling up that 15th spot and paying the tax on that, whatever. So in my opinion, I think that would be the first route you go. They can figure out either way. And by the way, there actually is another big man on the roster in Alan Smilagic. And it just shows where he is in his development that we're not even considering him or they, you know, saying, I mean, that's an issue when one of the roster spots on your team is going to somebody that I don't know if they're going to fully feel comfortable using out there. They might have to out of necessity, but I don't think they'd be happy to do it often.
And I agree with that. And I think one of the big differences between this stretch and that stretch earlier in the season when they were playing without a true center and playing Draymond at the five is that was for a finite amount of time that they more or less had an idea of how long it was going to be, even if they didn't have the exact return dates for James and for Pascal and for Looney and those guys. It was okay. It's going to be a couple weeks. Right now, they really don't have any answers in terms of a timeline. So it's not something that you can just say, well, we're going to wait until James gets back. We're going to wait until Eric Pascal gets back. Also, it's concerning because they have had so many injuries, even outside of the bigs position, you know, forwards and centers. Steph Curry had this tailbone. Kelly Oubre missed the last game with wrist. You know, people are just dropping all over the place. But with guards, they feel comfortable with Jordan Poole filling in. They feel comfortable with Kent Bazemore, Damian Lee, Andrew Wiggins picking up the slack. And that's just not the case for particularly the center spot. And Kevon Looney is a very injury prone player, as we've learned. So again, would be good to cover your bases considering Eric Pascal's now been injured multiple times this season. Kevon Looney's been injured this season and has suffered so many injuries before. James Wiseman's probably not going to come back. We don't want Draymond to get injured. Like, what are you going to do?
I mean, you don't want to run Draymond into the ground for this season. Also, fouls. They foul everybody. And then if someone gets in foul trouble, then what? What's Damian Lee going to be playing center? Which, by the way, probably at some point. But so...
it could happen.
At a center. I don't know. I guess. It sucks. It's just a bad situation for the Warriors that they're in. And I, you know, Marquise Chris was supposed to be in that position. Marquise got hurt and then he's out and then they trade him. There's just so many different places to go. If Marquise is close to coming back, which I don't think he is, re-sign Marquise and have him play. So really at the end of the day, they're going to have to figure out something to do because you can't just run small, 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 unless you really do feel like you can run Draymond a little bit into the ground. And Juan Toscano-Anderson, I am excited for him to play, but like you mentioned Jokic. I'm sorry. Juan Toscano-Anderson is not guarding Nikola Jokic. Not anyone can't guard Nikola Jokic, not a guy his size.
Well, it's also important to note defense is something the Warriors have really prided themselves on. And it has slipped lately a lot. And it's something that they're talking about where they need to refocus and recenter on their defense, because if they can get stops, they play good defense, that will feed their offense. And again, their defense is not going to get back to where it needs to be playing that small ball consistently. Again, here and there, if you need a boost of energy somewhere, okay. But they're not going to get that defensive identity as a team back if Draymond Green is your backup center and Kevon Looney is your only true big center.
Well, and you said, you know, that burst, right? Technically speaking, the best lineups for the Warriors are when they go small, right? That is where their efficiency is the best, their offenses ratings the best. You know, this is the thing. But like they do that in small samples because it takes a lot of energy to fight and gang rebound and do that. And to bring that energy and effort every single night when you go small is very, difficult. Can they stagger it enough where Kevon Looney plays 20 to 25 minutes a game? Let's just say 20 minutes a game. That means another 28 minutes you have to go small in a game. That's a lot. That is a lot of small ball, and there aren't enough guys. So could you put in Smiley Geach to fill in for 5 minutes in the game? Maybe, you know, maybe you have to. That's just where you're at. Maybe you can't find anybody to fill a 10-day or fill that last roster spot that's even better than Smiley Geach in the first place. It is not a good situation for them. However, one thing they also cannot do is run Steph Curry into the ground, because Steph is going to be the guy that has to take on even a bigger load. And you're like, why? What does that have to do with being a center? Whatever. But like, if your defense struggles, if this struggles or something, you're relying on one guy to carry over. And that's the issue when Klay Thompson went down. That's the issue here. I want to find something positive to say. What is something? Think, Kendra, think.
I was going to say, I'm going to let you take that challenge.
Think, right?
I just think, I mean, maybe this is just stacking more onto the negative, so maybe I shouldn't say it. But I mean, we've mentioned Jokic's name a couple times, and that's obviously their first game right out of the gates after losing James Wiseman. Right. And we will learn a lot about the mindset of the team and the way that Steve Kerr is approaching about James Wiseman against that team, because they do have a lot of bigs. They also just got JaVale McGee during the trade deadline as a backup center. Mm-hmm. So they can't, again, we kind of said this before, but it's a team that you can't really go too small against, because Jokic is out there a lot. And now when he's not out there, McGee will be. And so it's going to be interesting to see if they do rely, or how they rely, I should say, on that small ball against, you know, very, very talented big men. But positives, I mean, it's really hard to think of positives right now for the Warriors. A positive could just be how well Steph has been playing. A positive could be there was lots of equal distributive scoring against the Rockets, which I think is a positive, because the question that we've been constantly asking is who is going to help Steph out. But even all of the positives that they did against the Rockets, fouling less, you know, better bench consistency, it's hard to say, well, that now they're going to be on the run, especially with the James Wiseman news. But even before that, it's hard to say, well, now this is, everything's clicking, because as you mentioned before, they lost to the Rockets the night before.
Just Wizards. After
beating, beating the Wizards.
They're the same team, pretty much.
Right. Just after beating the Bucks. So it was even before James Wiseman went down, it was hard to say that this was going to be where they make their run, and everything is figured out now, because it's hard to judge that off of the number 14 seed in the Western Conference.
Yeah, absolutely. Kendra.
Grant.
We'll be here the rest of the way. I feel bad for James Wiseman. Let's do that thing where we cross our fingers about just the injury being the lessest, is that what I said? Or the
minorest?
Minorest, yeah, of the injuries of them all. Thank you everyone for sitting with us and just hearing us cry for a little bit, or complain, or I don't even know what it was. This was a vent session. We vented.
It was an errand of grievances.
Wow. About time.
It was like a little therapy session.
I know. It's our first time doing it.
Already.
All right. Okay. Let's take on.
Keeps growing, Grant.
What a friendship. Let's take on the day. Thanks everyone for joining us. This is the Dubs Talk podcast presented by Wendy's, and we will see y'all soon.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.